in the West Asia region. America's costly and disastrous occupations of both Iraq and Afghanistan were very popular back at home, and it soon became clear that continuing U.S. occupation of these lands was untenable. Thus, the Americans came up with the idea of forming various proxy terrorist groups and pursuing their political goals in the region by arming and training these terror groups to wreak havoc in the region, and in particular to disintegrate, split up both Iraq and Syria. A fractured Iraq and Syria, of course, would be ideal for the fabricated regime of Israel, the Zionist regime, and also the Americans would have a much easier time plundering the natural resources of both nations, especially crude oil. This was the main reason for the formation of Daesh, also known as ISIS terror group, by the Americans and their allies. Some regional countries such as Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates also aided and abetted Daesh terrorists by funding and arming them. It is also worth noting that Donald Trump, in a speech in August 2016, during the 2016 presidential campaign, accused the then president of the US, Barack Obama, and former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, of founding the Daesh or ISIS terror group. Dear listeners, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was instrumental in countering this U.S. scheme by forming a regional axis of resistance, uniting the Palestinian resistance groups, Hamas, and Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement, Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, Syrian government forces, Iraqi government forces, and the Yemeni resistance forces. This remarkable achievement was a major thorn in the side of the U.S. regime and also prevented the breakup and disintegration of both Iraq and Syria. The Daesh terror machine was effectively halted, and U.S. and Zionist regime's plots in the region were scuppered thanks to the efforts of Martyr Soleimani. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, exactly 3 years ago, the top Iranian general who had led the fight against Daesh terrorists and defeated them decisively in the West Asia region was assassinated by America's terrorist army.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression and hegemony, even one voice becomes powerful. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. Voice of the Voiceless.
Welcome back, dear listeners. Greetings to you. I'm with you with the live coverage of the third martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. And here we go back live to Press TV headquarters to have the latest updates on this occasion. Stay with us, please.
Sayyid Ali Ayatollah Khamenei Sistani said, it doesn't mean death to the American people. It means death to American foreign, the end of American foreign policy in the region.
Definitely. By saying that, as you said, these people who have converged here, as you can see them, thousands of them, right there you can see the burial place of General Soleimani. And as you said, by saying death to America, Iranians do not mean death to American people. Indeed, they are referring to the American officials and those who ordered the assassination of General Soleimani and his companions, those who created Daesh in the region to cause instability and insecurity so that they can carry on their own policies in the region for their own benefit. Now, the other thing that I want to mention, General Soleimani was a great commander. Everyone knows that. Just look at his achievements, defeating Daesh, which shadow had cast, you know, a fear upon the region. Now, when asked what was the key to the success of Iranian forces in the battlefield, General Soleimani mentioned two main factors. One of them was the leadership, which in this case, Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, is our leader, who he describes as a very, very wise man who manages, everything in the country, in the sense that Iranians have this spirit that they put their own country in the priority. So leadership, let me just put it this way, compared to other countries like Arab countries, the Arab Spring in the early 2010s, there were uprisings in those countries. People went to the streets, but they failed. Why? Because General Soleimani said they do not have the leader that was needed, unlike Iran. And the other factor was this spirit among people that they are ready to sacrifice their lives for their country, something that General Soleimani showcased perfectly in his own handwritings. I was reading the other day, he has written that, "I'm very tired. I haven't slept for 40 years. Why? Because I'm afraid if I sleep, some terrorist might kill an innocent child." So this shows how dedicated this man was to providing security for the region, not only for his own country, but all the people, all the oppressed people, all those who were being attacked by the Takfir terrorists in the region, Iraq, Syria. This shows how he cared about these things. Back to you, Assam.
Thank you very much, Mehdi Abbasian there, our correspondent, joining us live on the ground there in Kerman, where the late general's body is buried. Now, our next guests, let me invite them, are Sarbaz Ruhullah Rezvi, activist and political analyst from Qom, and we also have Julia Qasim, journalist and political analyst from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Sarbaz, I want to just expand on the humanitarian aspects of Qasem Soleimani. When we saw the floods in Khuzestan, the southern Iranian province, it was General Qasem Soleimani, albeit as well alongside him, Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis was also there, the first at the scene to arrive, not just in military operations. He was the first to arrive to help the people and see what they need when they were those heavy floods that we saw in Khuzestan back, I think it was 5 years ago.
Shahid Soleimani was actually the symbol of someone who was caring and concerning about the people of this region. By this region, I mean the people who are living here, not only the people who are living here, but all the people around the world. For him, borders was not making any sense. I mean, he was looking after anyone oppressed, anyone who was in need, either inside Iran, either outside Iran, either because of flood or because of terrorism, either because of a natural disaster or because of an occupation. It doesn't make any difference. It wasn't making any difference for Shahid Soleimani. That's why he was trying to be, helpful to the people, wherever he was finding any people in need. That was the point. Here I want to mention something important. I believe we should not confine Shahid Soleimani to certain areas, certain fields of his wars. Of course, last stages of his life was involved in fighting against terrorism, against Takfiris, against Daesh, ISIS, whatever you want to call them. But we have to notice what was the background of Shahid Soleimani, and it originates from the same concern of Shahid Soleimani towards the people of this region. West Asian region faced a catastrophe, a disaster which was not a natural disaster, of course. That all started from 1948, the ignition of the Zionist regime. And later on, it was continued by the American occupation later on in 1991, then in 2001, then 2003, when the American forces came. And the Takfiris were the result of these two main factors. So there's a triangle of evil. Shahid Soleimani was fighting against the Zionist regime. Shahid Soleimani was fighting against the American occupation forces at the region. And Shahid Soleimani was fighting against Daesh, ISIS. And of course, he succeeded. He completely succeeded in defeating Daesh. And by his success in defeating Daesh, I don't mean that the Daesh ideology was eliminated. Every time any hardliner ideology could exist, it's not confined to a certain region. But the point is that this was the Americans who paved the path for emergence of the so-called Islamic State of Levant and Iraq. It was actually the imperialist powers who paved the path for their presence. So Shahid Soleimani fought against them, he defeated them, and he kicked them out of the region. That is what he did, no doubt about that. But his project was yet going on against the U.S. occupation forces at every region, which yet needs to be accomplished. So let's be very frank and clear that still, of course, the regions get rid of the presence of the Daesh, but yet we are facing the American occupation forces. Of course, they are declining, no doubt. Information from the region is telling us the American occupation forces are declining at the region, but they still exist. You know that 50 American military bases are yet around Iran. In Syria, 28 American bases are still there. Of course, in Afghanistan, they have been kicked out, but here their presence, air presence, intelligence presence is there, even in Afghanistan. They are in Persian Gulf, they are still there. They are in Iraq. Even Iraq, we have still, at least as for my information, like 4 operating bases of American forces is still inside Iraq. So let's be very frank that the idea that the goal of Shahid Soleimani, kicking out the American occupation forces from the region, should be accomplished. And this question is still there. What is going on? And we all have to find ourselves responsible in following the path of Shahid Soleimani, someone in the field of, military, on the ground, and others on the field of media. Look at the figures, look at the numbers of what Americans have done. Sometimes I'm afraid that the notorious Daesh is, sidelining the, crimes against humanity committed by the American forces. Sometimes because Daesh was very, in media, they were very projected highly. American forces and their crimes was, you know, under shadow, unfortunately, and that should be noticed. According to the, different sources, more than 900,000 people have lost their lives since 2001 in our region because of the U.S. military presence. 900,000 people. This is based on the project of causes of war done by Watson University. 900,000 means every day 120 or 130 people are losing their lives because of the American presence at this region. Even Daesh was not able to kill so much people that Americans are doing. The recent report that was published just last year by New York Times about Talon Anvil, the secret cell in the American Air Force that killed, according to the reports and according to the NGOs such as Air Wars, between 8 to 13,000 people were killed by just this cell. From 8 to 13,000 civilians were killed. Look at the massacre that took place in Baghouz, 2019. March 2019, 64 women and men and children were massacred by a one-ton bomb that was dropped from the U.S. drones. Look at the massacre that took place in Al-Karama in March 2017, if I'm not wrong, in a city just next to Raqqa. They were claiming that they are targeting the Daesh forces. Americans were claiming that, but in reality, they were massacring the people. I told you, 13,000 people killed by the drone operations of U.S. at the region. Who is going to take Americans responsible? Who is going to ask about the war crimes committed by U.S. forces at this region? This is what Sheikh Soleimani was looking after. You started asking me the question of how Sheikh Soleimani was helping the flood-stricken people in different areas inside Iran. And that's right. He was caring about people. When he was looking after kicking Americans out of this region, he was knowing how many innocent people are being massacred by Americans. And no one dares to ask Americans what the hell you are doing at this region. And no media is putting, shedding light on the crimes that Americans are committing at this region. Tens of millions of people displaced. Millions of people injured. And it's still going on. Let's not forget, we have to accomplish the job of Sheikh Soleimani. His thought is still alive. Americans should be kicked out of this region. And then the main and the final, point of this triangle of evil is the Zionist regime. Let's not forget about the role that Sheikh Soleimani played from the 90s about the Palestinian cause. And his support was not limited to any certain Palestinian group. It was not just limited to Jihad al-Islami or the Hamas. No, he supported anyone who was in the field of resistance. We know the story of Karen A's ship and in 2001. That was all about Fatah. It was all about when they decided to turn back from Oslo and decided to fight and decided to resist, Sheikh Soleimani helped them. Because it was believing that the misery of the people in this region, the misery, it all started from the Zionist regime. 1948 is the start of the problems of this regime. I do believe that if we face in 2011, 2013, 2012, the presence of the ISIS, Daesh, it is all related to the creation of the Zionist fake illegitimate regime in 1948 at this region.
So the ultimate goal, Sarbaz, as I understand it, for the ultimate revenge for the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani is the expulsion, the withdrawal, whatever you want to call it, of American forces, the American military forces from this region. Indeed. In other words,
that is the first step of defeating the Zionist regime from this region. Because U.S. is there to support their agenda about the creation of the Zionist regime. Why U.S. forces are here? What dragged them into the region in 1991 and then in 2001, in Afghanistan, 2003, in Iraq? If you ask me, I will tell you to support support the Zionist regime here, nothing more than that. They do not want any independent, and it's not about Iran, let's be very frank, it's not only about Iran. The idea behind the creation of the Zionist regime was to defeat any independent power of this region. There should not be any Muslim Arab country powerful at this region. There should be just one power at this region, the Zionist regime. So that's why when we look back to the history, we find that the any Arab country, any Arab nation that decided to be independent was a target for the Zionists. We know all about the target killings of the Iranian scientists. Have a look to the file of the target killings of the Egyptian scientists, even Iraqi scientists, even Palestinian, Tunisian, Algerian. Look how many cases are there. The Zionists started target killing of the scientists, of Arab scientists, from the 50s. They targeted them in US, in Europe, inside their own countries. And it's decades before the creation of, before the Iranian Revolution in 1979. They targeted any country, they targeted Syria. Why they targeted Syria? Because Syria was trying to be an independent country. They were trying to be independent from the will and the wishes of the imperialist powers. And you know, if you summarize the whole, agenda of the imperialist power at the region, that would be the Zionist regime. So the third step, first one was defeating the ISIS, which was the creation of the mixture of the Zionist regime and the American military presence at this region. As it was said, we are not against the people of America, as you said in the previous talk to Kerman, that we are not against the people of America, but we are against the presence of American forces all over the world. Of course, we are living in West Asian region, and we are facing them, unless in Far East Asia. Wherever you go, you find their presence. 750 American bases are around the world, from Atlantic Ocean to Far East. What they are doing there? What the hell they are doing? Why no one is asking them? Why no one is taking them responsible for all the crimes against humanity they are doing?
So the ultimate goal is to, for the withdrawal, expulsion of American forces from this region after the assassination of Qasem Soleimani. Julia Qasem is a journalist and political analyst who is joining us from Beirut. Julia, tell us about, because Sarbaz was speaking about the independence, the importance of countries being independent and having their sovereignty and not being proxies of the United States hegemonic and imperialistic presence in the region. So when it comes to Lebanon and Qasem Soleimani, we know Qasem Soleimani played, if not the biggest role, in forming the Lebanese resistance that kicked out the Israeli occupation and brought independence and sovereignty and territorial integrity to Lebanon. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, regionally, he helped establish the Hashd al-Shaabi in Iraq, but also he has a seminal role in helping basically blueprint the resistance strategy and the resistance foundation of the resistance in Lebanon as well, with his vision that was rooted in a very deep understanding of resistance. He was there during 2006. He was even in Gaza. He was very seminal in helping the Palestinian resistance also, challenge and fight Israel as well. But Qasem Soleimani, as he was in Iraq, as he was in Palestine, was present from the start and throughout most major conflicts on the ground, as he disclosed in an October 3rd, 2019 interview, that he was present and actually instrumental in helping Lebanon successfully fight Israel and protect their sovereignty.
And in the 2006 war, he was alongside Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and Imad Mughniyeh. I believe at one point, according to watching an Iranian documentary, at one point where he was speaking, that they were on the same day they were in one bunker together. And then they decided the second day that they should separate for security reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. I do know exactly what documentary you're talking about. It was, I believe it came out around the same year. And then he also did allude to it in his interview later that year. They did cooperate closely together in Lebanon and I believe in Gaza as well during their sieges. And it was his understanding of military warfare and tactics on the battlefield that was so instrumental in helping Hezbollah and helping the resistance forces all across the Axis develop the kind of skill that they had, essentially. So we're all indebted to Soleimani.
Right, and but we see this ongoing. We see that the Palestinians, because of General Soleimani, they are still expanding their resistance powers. They are still gaining from General Soleimani's experience. We see in Yemen, we can say the same about Lebanon, right?
Absolutely. He set the foundation and he set the infrastructure, the fighting infrastructure, the military infrastructure, that enabled these resistance forces to develop in strength and in strategy and in leadership that you see today.
And when it comes to the withdrawal of American forces as a result of the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani, the withdrawal of American forces from West Asia, how do you see that happening? Will that need some kind of strategic patience?
Yes, it does, and that's particularly Iran's strategy, that there is a strategic patience. There isn't just a response just for a response, but essentially that it's guaranteed that the military infrastructure, the personnel, the organization is able to develop and strengthen as much as it can in the ongoing campaign to remove hegemony and occupation from our region. A lot of people are like thinking about the last siege on Gaza and wondering why the resistance could have finished them off. Well, it was an important milestone, but every chance to hone one's patience and to develop and strengthen the capabilities of the resistance ensures a greater victory, as we've been seeing. In Iraq, we've seen the most successful and organized campaign to fight and remove American occupation, U.S. Bases from the country. This is all thanks to the organizational work of Soleimani, particularly since 2014, helping and pushing for the formation of Hashd al-Sha'bi. In Lebanon, the first victory that we've seen from Israeli occupation, from the U.S. occupation in the 80s, but also that really, really culminated into 2006's occupation. Those latter stages were the work of Soleimani, and thanks to Soleimani. While there is a little bit of a gradualism in how that's being achieved, it is definitely apparent that those milestones are actualized.
So can we say that it was because of General Soleimani who taught all the resistance movements in West Asia about strategic patience, how to develop your skills in the face of a much larger enemy that has perhaps more resources, how to develop your mind and your soul? And this strategic patience, we're seeing it going on today, and is that one of the military skills that General Soleimani continues to see today, unlike the American politicians who make so many blunders because they take such a big rush, they make their decisions so quickly.
Right, and the American and Israelis also expect us to respond that way in the region. It gives your enemy an advantage when you're able to bait them into an immediate response, a predictable response, But the strategy of Soleimani's strategic patience, which is why you've seen, like, even after his assassination, you didn't see Iran rush into a decision right away, because of the foundation of his strategy and response had been so successful in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Gaza, time and time again. And it's also to the advantage of the resistance that their responses are calculated, their responses are analyzed, their responses are developed before, and then most of all, their responses aren't predictable. They respond on their own time and their own assessments, not on the West's expectations. Or else, as you mentioned, we'd be blundering like them. And this is definitely thanks to a strategy parcel thanks to Soleimani's foundation and philosophy of resistance.
Right. So, Serbaz, I just want to get back to the also. So, we've got on one side the military aspect of General Soleimani. On the other side, we have the humanitarian aspect, which I wanted to discuss with you just a little further. Apart from the floods in Khuzestan in the southern Iran that damaged many homes, and General Soleimani was the first on the scene, we also see how kind he is to the children of the martyrs. There was. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah. That is that spiritual aspect of Shahid Soleimani. Let's not forget. I mean, here something interesting comes forth, like the attitude. I mean, it goes back to the Islamic understanding of someone like Shahid Soleimani, how he was understanding Islam. One thing is very important. Shahid Soleimani was of those people with that mystic understanding of Islam. That spiritual dimensions of Islam for him was very strong. I mean, you can see it. I mean, typically when you face someone as a general, as a warrior, for example, in old armies of old, you will never ever see that person crying or in an emotional. You try always to put it. I mean, this is what typically media are doing in other parts of the world. If someone is head of the staffs, like, or he's a commander or he's a general, always he's in a very serious mood. He never laughs. He never cries. He tries never to reveal his emotions, you know? But that was not the case about Shahid Soleimani. He was apparently coming to the stage and was crying. When he was facing the children of the Shuhada, martyrs, and he was going to the, he used to call them, you know that. I mean, he used to call all the others very martyred. He was calling them, or if he had not time to go and visit them, he was calling them, speaking to them like a father, like a grandfather, in a very, lowly way. I mean, he was speaking to them. And that spiritual dimension of someone like Shahid Soleimani, that is something that we don't find nowadays anywhere. That is something unique, actually. He was fighting Daesh, American Zionists, and on the other side, when he was calling to a daughter, we all have seen that image that, a little boy is coming to Shahid Soleimani while he was praying and offering him a flower, and he's taking that flower, you know?
That refers to that
spiritual understanding of Islam. You know, that's much more understandable in eastern part of the world. You know, when you move towards east, that spiritual understanding of Islam, which is very soft, which is very kind, which is very emotional, you find that very apparently. You know, sometimes some people who believe to be very religious, but they are very strict, they are very tough, they are very, they are tough guys, actually. But Shahid Soleimani was not a tough guy. I mean, he was very kind. Even if he was facing someone who was not committed to Sharia, how he was dealing with them, how lowly he was facing them, that is the trend that I believe Shahid Soleimani was a follower of Imam Khomeini, a great scholar, a great Islamic scholar, who was an arif, who was, a special trend of Islam that believes in spirituality, believes in the inner connection of you as a human being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. that you should be connected anytime, any act, anything that you're doing during your lifetime, you have to consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's all about, being devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being very kind to the people because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, that's what you have learned from, great heroes, great personalities of Islam, like Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam or Imam Hussein. When we go to the stories of our imams or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, you find him very kind, very tough at wars. Ashiddaw ala al-kuffar ruhama'u bainum. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Very tough towards the enemies, but when they come to their own, they are very nice, they are very emotional. Ruhama'u bainum. Among themselves, they are merciful. That was a symbol of, a mixture. That's making sense. A mixture of someone who is brave, who is, fighting the enemies. And when it comes to the little innocent girl, he's becoming very emotional. And I want to add also something about about the role that he played towards the Iraqis, Lebanese, Palestinians. And that was the point that I believe that let's not forget. Oh, this I believe was a strategy of Shahid Soleimani, that any nation, any people, should fight against their enemies by themselves. And Shahid Soleimani was there to help them. I'm very frank. Who defeated, who saved Syria from the plans and plots of the Western and imperialist powers? I believe it was the Syrian people, first of all, and Shahid Soleimani helped them. Lebanese, who fought in Lebanon against the Zionist occupation? The Lebanese themselves, and Shahid Soleimani helped them. Iraqis, who were Hashd al-Shaabi? They were Iraqis.
Right. Julia, just picking up from Sarbaz, who raises a very important point, that General Soleimani essentially he helped those countries, the resistance, those who are oppressed, such as the Iraqis and the Yemenis and the Lebanese and the Syrians, help them utilize their own resources and build up their own resources to defend their country and become independent and become sovereign and not be under occupation or under siege or be a proxy of the United States. Do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, the philosophy of the resistance and the resistance existence is something that other guests touched upon and that Soleimani embodied, is that though we recognize we are in shared struggle, ultimately, Soleimani helped develop the capacities of indigenous forces that were fighting on their own, definitely and essentially, and still are. Of course, breaks the Western narrative of proxy war or of these resistance forces as proxies, because Sayyid Hassan has said it many times that Lebanon directs its own, resistance forces. It's just that what Soleimani embodied was a sense of shared struggle and coordination across all factions of the resistance forces that are essentially fighting the same enemies. He helped strengthen and coordinate and communicate those abilities and those strategies, which enabled successes, but ultimately it was philosophically, in the philosophy of resistance of war, it is those indigenous forces, indigenous people on the ground that ultimately decide and determine their own victory. And Shahid Soleimani was a huge believer in this in practice.
So, in other words, would Hezbollah be a growing force today had it not been for General Soleimani, or would the Hashd al-Shaabi be a more growing and increasing further every day, increasing their capabilities, had it not been for General Soleimani? Or would the Palestinian resistance or any other resistance in West Asia be expanding more, further expanding their resistance capabilities and capacities and skills and military skills today, had it not been for General Soleimani?
Allahu Alam. My God knows how the outcomes would be without Shahid Soleimani, but it's undeniable as history and as the reality unfolded that the coordination of the Palestinian resistance forces, which have been disfactionalized and, you know, selling out for decades, you know, them coming together and fighting, as we saw really in the sword and shield battle, under one banner and declaring their support for Iran, and vice versa, being very open about Iran's support for them. Soleimani was definitely foundational in that. Soleimani was foundational in a lot of the tactics of resistance and the strategy that characterized Lebanon's later stages, mostly post 2000 victories. And of course, Soleimani was foundational in pushing for the Sistani's fatwa to establish the Hashd al-Shaabi to begin with. Because Sistani, you know, in 2003, he was more of the hands-off, leader in terms of actually taking up arms to fight the Americans. It was actually Soleimani that persuaded and that put this foundation for the Iraqi resistance that ultimately fought the U.S. occupation, but Daesh as well. So I think that the way the resistance developed across these countries, it is undeniable that Soleimani left his mark and that there is a level of shared struggle and coordination that is enabling our success that Soleimani was instrumental in implementing. But ultimately, it wasn't Soleimani was not without God. He wasn't without the philosophical guidance of Imam Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution that developed a lot of the skills that accompanied the military skills that he brought to the field wherever he went. And right. Specifically, these are the examples of how we see that. So it's yes and no, basically.
Right. So when you touch on the popular mobilization forces, the Hashd al-Shaabi, according to Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, who was assassinated also alongside Soleimani, there would be no Hashd al-Shaabi had it not been for the fatwa of Sayyid Ayatollah Sistani and the presence on the very first hour of General Soleimani. But today we see the Hashd al-Shaabi, which used to be a volunteer force, but today we see the popular mobilization forces as a major, one of the biggest military wing of Iraq's armed forces. It has special, you know, a naval unit, air unit, and anti-aircraft unit, you name it. So Soleimani played the role, the initial role, and now we see that this what is also a resistance movement, but also now integrated into Iraq's armed forces, has become one of the biggest factions of Iraq's armed forces.
Yes, absolutely. And that particularly is what made Soleimani the target. And you even see, even just aside from just the material military capabilities, you can see the strategy of Hashd al-Shaabi. And its integration into the government has been aimed at restoring and strengthening unity in the factional Iraqi government. The unity on the principle of anti-occupation, resistance, and anti-imperialism. And this is basically the bottom line for Hashd al-Shaabi, like thinking about their late 2019, early 2020, especially after Soleimani's assassination, which took place in Iraq on this day 3 years ago, to expel the American occupation, as well as their patience and reconciliation in trying to form a unified front with other Iraqi factions, just simply on the principle of anti-occupation and resistance. Again, we see Soleimani's other tactics of and aims of doing so coming into play here when those objectives were also actualized in the Hashd al-Shaabi's integration into the Iraqi government that had been so hopelessly consumed since 2003 by U.S. institutions, U.S. Institutional backing, U.S. institutional infiltration, which was very strong in the army, which was very strong in all factions of government. But basically, as well, Soleimani was assassinated while he was on a peace mission to even just kind of establish peace between another U.S. client state, Saudi Arabia, and his strategy of resolving those internal and secondary contradictions amongst occupied and Arab and Muslim countries is seen in the strategy of Hezbollah, the strategy of Hashd al-Shaabi on the political level as well as on the military level.
Right. So, Sarbaz, in essence, what we see is that the United States, I don't know what you think, but I'm assuming the United States has achieved nothing by assassinating General Soleimani. His school of thought is carried on, not just carried on, but has expanded, as Julia just referred to, or was just alluding to. And he achieved martyrdom, as Sayyid Nasrallah said, in the most beautiful. He always dreamed of martyrdom. He got what he wanted. The United States didn't achieve anything. And just to quote Sayyid Nasrallah, he said that he achieved martyrdom in a way that not even General Soleimani, through decades of wanting to achieve martyrdom, had and expected. His head was decapitated like Imam Hussein, his master, and his hand was cut off like Abbas, Imam Hussein's brother in Karbala, and his body was cut to pieces like Ali al-Akbar, Hussein's son, in the Battle of Karbala.
Shahid Soleimani is much more dangerous for Americans than the General Soleimani. There's no doubt about that. And Shahid Soleimani was the one who helped the creation of the rings in different parts of this region and then interconnected them, made them a chain, made them an axis. That is the point. That is what he did. And when you have created that chain, that axis of resistance at this region, his physical presence, even if you eliminate Shahid Soleimani physically, you martyr him, you kill him, whatever you want to do, you can't do anything to what he has done, because what Shahid Soleimani did at this region was completely basic and fundamental. Fundamental. The point is that, you see their reactions, like the Americans are doing something, or Zionists are every other day attacking Syrians, for example, or pressure or economic pressure is going on against the countries like Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon. That's all signs of the reactions of the enemies of Shahid Soleimani. These are all reactions. So there is an action. There's an action. You should know that. And that's what is, making them frightened, that the action is there. The ideology is there. You have killed Shahid Soleimani. You have martyred Shahid Soleimani. But his ideology is now much more alive. No doubt. People of the world know Shahid Soleimani. No one was knowing Shahid Soleimani except the people who were at this region. I'm talking globally. But after his martyrdom, you can find people in different parts of the world. I had a chance of going to Venezuela just a couple of months after the martyrdom of Shahid Soleimani. And I was shocked when I faced people there who had came from Spain, from Ecuador, from Europe, from Latin America, even from North America, people who were, who were full of emotions towards Shahid Soleimani, who were full of, they were finding the people in Latin America, they were feeling that they have lost again Ernesto Che Guevara. The people who were from East countries, like people in India, I faced so many people in India, they were feeling that someone who was the hero of fighting against terrorism, they have lost someone like who was the hero of fighting against terrorism. In different parts of the world, people came to know what was Shahid Soleimani. And Shahid Soleimani, of course, was a general in the Iranian Quds Force that was resembling Iran's regional policies. Shahid Soleimani was the symbol of the regional policies of Islamic Revolution of Iran, Islamic Republic of Iran, that they believed that this region should be free of U.S. occupation forces, free of Takfiris, free of Zionist regime. And that is very important, that awakening, that understanding is really very important. And that's why this quoting is really, I mean, 100% correct, that Shahid Soleimani is much more dangerous for Americans, for Zionists, than General Soleimani, because Shahid Soleimani is an ideology, is a thinking, is a thought. You can't kill the thought. You can't target it. If you target it, it will, you know, increase itself in magnitude, in effect, in presence everywhere. And that's what took place. I believe that's what took place. The understanding even the people of, like, Palestinian people, I found much more, I mean, reactions from the Palestinians after the martyrdom of Shahid Soleimani. Interestingly, for example, you look at the speech of Rahmatullah alayh, Shahid Nazar Bennett, on the first anniversary of Shahid Soleimani. He has a speech, the well-known Palestinian martyr who was martyred by the Mahmoud Abbas government, and was tortured to death there in Palestine. And when he talks about Shahid Soleimani, how he talks about Shahid Soleimani, how boldly, very, very clearly, very frankly, without any hesitation, he's talking about what he has done. And the Palestinians have all together been united and joined the axis of resistance that was formed by the help of Shahid Soleimani at this region. So, of course, I believe Shahid Soleimani is much more alive today, but his missions and goals should be followed. And we have to accomplish the job. We have to follow the job. And that, as I said from the very beginning, that expulsion of the American occupation forces from this region, that is putting an end to the Zionist regime, putting an end to the imperialist powers that are the source of any problem at this region. And that should be followed, that should be accomplished, that should be pursued. We should not forget. We should not be busy with, it's not about the names. It's about ideology, thinkings, beliefs, thoughts that should be alive. And this region will not face justice and peace unless all the occupation forces are expelled from this region and the Zionist regime is stopped from its everyday aggressions against the people of this region.
Okay, let me thank our guests for their contribution to this today's rolling coverage regarding the martyr Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the third anniversary. Sarbaz Ruhullah Rezvi is an activist and political analyst joining us from Qom, and also Julia Qasim is a journalist and political analyst that joined us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. I thank you both for your contribution and your insight. We're going to show you some footage now, but we're going to continue our rolling coverage on this very important day that marks the martyrdom of General Soleimani and the school of General Soleimani, and what's the future after General Soleimani. So don't go anywhere.
So here we are back. This is the live coverage of the third martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani. Dear listeners, we are on the martyrdom anniversary of the unmatched General Qasem Soleimani, whose very name would send shivers to the hearts of terrorists and their masters everywhere in the world. 3 years after the martyrdom of the great commander of the resistance front, and in fact the symbol of this front, Lieutenant Qasem Soleimani, his name and fame have spread all across the planet more than ever. He was the great man who feared nothing. This is why the people of the region and the world know him for his courage and valor. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, exactly 3 years ago, top Iranian general who had led the fight against Daesh, ISIS terrorists, and defeated them decisively in the West Asia region was assassinated by the U.S. terrorist army. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was an Iranian hero and a regional hero who had successfully campaigned and defeated Daesh terrorists in West Asia region, much to the chagrin of the U.S. regime, which had trained, armed, and funded Daesh terrorists from the very beginning. The whole world has acknowledged that Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani's vital role in this regard, and he's quite rightly recognized as a defining figure of the axis of resistance and the man who defeated and expelled Daesh terrorists from Iraq and the wider West Asia region. In the early hours of Friday morning, January 3rd, 2020, in a terrorist attack carried out by a U.S. drone near Baghdad International Airport, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the IRGC Quds Force, and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, the deputy commander of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Forces, also known as Hashd al-Sha'bi, were assassinated when a drone-fired missile hit their vehicle. Dear listeners, Martyr Soleimani was a realist, you know, a realistic idealist. He enjoyed abundant natural potential to turn his lofty ideals and goals into operational plans. In a part of verse 249 of chapter Baqara of the Noble Quran, God says, "How many a small party has overcome a larger party by Allah's will?" Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani put this verse into practice in his life. For years, it was said that the Zionist regime was the fourth military power in terms of strategy and tactics. It was propagated all over the world, especially among the regional nations, that the illegitimate regime is absolutely invincible. But the great commander of resistance front, Qasem Soleimani, first challenged this lie through strengthening of resistance units in Lebanon and Palestine, and then he annulled this big lie with the help of these forces. Today, the Israeli terrorist military is facing a group of people who have been inspired by the thoughts of the Holy Defense in 1980s and a strongly believe in the divine promises. The sound of annihilation of the Zionist regime, of course, can be heard in the streets of the occupied Palestine. Qasem Soleimani was described as the nightmare of the fabricated regime of Israel. The most powerful general of the West Asia North Africa region and the architect of Iran's strong strategy. These epithets imply his preeminent role in West Asia region. The American officials, both military and non-military, had asked to meet with General Soleimani several times, but he had rejected all of them. Martyr Soleimani even didn't answer then U.S. Foreign Minister John Kerry's letter begging to meet him. This while he would meet with many senior officials of various countries like Russia. Qasem Soleimani was not a diplomat, but his statements during the meetings with officials of different countries would affect regional plans seriously.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio.
I'm back with the live coverage of the third martyrdom anniversary of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani and my colleague Mehran Derakhshande has joined us in this live coverage. So your take on this?
That's right. And I just want to briefly mention a little bit